4:30 having arrived, I will call to order the Finance Committee meeting of Monday, April 13th, 2026, and ask Director Schmidtke to please call the roll.
Council President Vidiver?
Here. Answer.
Alder Verbeer?
Here.
Alder Govindarajan?
Here.
Alder Madison?
Here.
Alder Evers?
Here.
Alder Figueroa Cole?
Here.
Mayor of Quorum.
Thank you. We had a number of folks available to answer questions for public comment, but only one person who was wishing to speak, who I do not see in the Zoom. Do we have Daniela Rumpf of District 12 representing East Madison Little League?
I don't see them in attendance, Mayor.
All right. Thank you. So at the moment, no public comment. Are there any disclosures or recusals on from members of the body on items on this agenda? Seeing no disclosures or recusals, are there any items that members of the body would like to see separated from the consent agenda at this time? Alder Figueroa Cole?
Thanks, Mayor. 2, 9, and 14.
2, 9, and 14.
If I can just do a quick overview, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alder Madison? Oh, I'm sorry. Doesn't matter. Alder Madison, go ahead.
Just 5, number 5.
Number 5. And Alder Revere.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question on agenda item number 4, please.
Item 4. Okay. And any other items that alders would like to have separated from the consent agenda at this time? I am going to suggest that we separate item 13 just in case our speaker shows up. And I would like to note that the recommendation, we're pulling number 9 anyway, so we'll take that motion when we get there. So the following items will be excluded from the consent agenda: items 2, 4, 5, 9, 13, and 14. On the balance of the agenda, President Vidiver?
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the balance of the agenda. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda, consisting of items 3, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, and 15? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote. And we will come then to item 2, which is Legistar 92343, amending sections of the Madison General Ordinances to allow for longer installment payments of special assessments for customers of private water supply cooperatives. On item 2, President Vidiver, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt item 2. Alder Figueroa Cole, you had questions?
Just if they can do a quick overview of what does this apply to in general.
It looks like our
specific assessments, and that word cooperative kind of threw me off a little bit.
So this is a unique situation, and our city engineer can explain it.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll do my best to explain this unique situation. It is a little confusing. So I think, as most of the alders are aware, when the city does a street reconstruction project, we have special assessments associated with that, be it for street items, so driveway aprons, pavement primarily, and then also related to sewer or storm sewer work. If you've got a private connection for storm sewer or for your sanitary sewer lateral. We also have assessment policies for situations where we're extending new service to an area. So if an area is only served by a well or septic, there are special assessments associated with the entire project to bring sanitary sewer or water service to that particular region. So what we have kind of in the midst right now that's kind of going through the budget process and we're getting into design a little bit is in what was previously a Town of Madison neighborhood. They are served by a private water utility co-op, or not private water utility, just a private water co-op. So they have a well serving the neighborhood, about 100 properties or so, that they've been managing for close to 100 years or so on their own, collecting their own payments, doing their own maintenance. But now it's at the point where that needs to be replaced. And the water utility started a process to extend new water service to the neighborhood. And they applied for a safe drinking water loan program through the safe drinking water loan program at the state and have been awarded a loan, a grant to do a portion of this work. But in order to provide that water service, there are pretty high special assessments because the total water utility project, so all of the water mains going in to serve the neighborhood, would be assessed to the 100 properties or so. And then as we started to look at the project, we realized it was far more economical for the city and a better service to the residents overall if we would do a full street reconstruction too. They've got poor sanitary sewer system. They do have an existing city sanitary sewer system, so it's not extending new service. The streets are in really poor condition, pavements rated a 3 out of 10, barely any sidewalks or pedestrian facilities to speak of. It's also very prone to flooding, and that's actually a considerable piece of this project. Drainage in the area is poor, and it's very low lying. So we thought it would be a much better service to extend a full reconstruction project to the area. But as I noted, whenever we do a street reconstruction project, there's also assessments for streets, also special assessments for the sanitary sewer. And that would be on top of what was already going to be high special assessments for bringing new water service to the area. So the water utility, a couple of years ago, kind of anticipating this project, had amended the ordinance to allow for a 30-year payback period for this very specific circumstance when they are providing new water service to a neighborhood to relieve a private water co-op. And so since we would be doing a full street reconstruction in coordination with that new water service project, we are looking to amend our ordinance to allow for a 30-year payback on all of the special assessments done as part of an entire project in coordination with relieving a private water co-op. This is the only one that we know of. So as far as we know, this is the one series of projects that this particular ordinance would apply to in the city of Madison. So hopefully that wasn't too confusing. It's not a way to briefly describe, though.
Thank you, Engineer Wolf. Any follow-up questions?
I guess, don't want to dwell on it, but why couldn't we just ask for a special assessment for this project like we do to the Board of Works? You know, we ask for an extension.
Well, our current maximum payback period in ordinance for those more typical items, the street and sewer items, is a maximum of 15 years. And we thought, given that there would already be a portion that could be paid back over in a 30-year period, is simpler for the city. And gave a better option for residents, the property owners in this area, too, for this kind of very large special assessment that would be associated with these projects.
Okay. And again, the keyword here is a cooperative. So it's not for everybody, it's just for these.
Yes, that is a very key word.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions for staff on item two? Seeing none, thank you, Jim. Item two has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item two and go on to item four, which is Legistar 92374, authorizing the mayor and clerk to enter into a competitively selected service contract with Ready Transports LLC for the balance of 2026 with up to four optional one-year renewals for ongoing emergency detention transport services. Future renewals will operate under a January through December annual contract. On item four, can I get a motion, please?
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. Alder Revere, you had questions?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, for Captain Nordquist. Thanks for being here, Matt. I just have, I think, one simple question for you, and that is, I was curious approximately how many transports we had last year to Winnebago.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the question. The last 2 years, we've averaged right in the neighborhood of 140, some months more and some months less. Thus far this year, we're a little bit higher than that.
And I guess a follow-up would be, was that about average in the years when patrol officers were the ones, I'll say, relegated to this duty?
I guess we don't necessarily have, we didn't keep those stats quite as well. We didn't keep a log, so I can't say for sure. I know typically patrol still handles a handful, even with Ready, so there's a decent likelihood that it was a shade higher, just when Ready can't make the transport if there's multiple in one night. But the last few years, it's held pretty steady around 140.
Very good. Well, I'm obviously very happy that things have worked out so well. Since this innovation, we can keep patrol officers in the city. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa-Cole, questions?
Yeah, and I'm sure you don't have the question, the answer for this either, but again, like, it would be nice to figure out or to keep track of how these numbers progress or decrease based on the collaboration with CARES, because from their side, we hear that many of the interactions result on not sending people out to these facilities. So it would also be nice to really have a better data picture of the entire ecosystem of how CARES works with this and the transport and MPD. So not a question necessarily, but just like for future reference, maybe keep track of some of that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions for staff? If not, thank you, Matt, and thanks, Teague, for being here. And item four has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item four? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote. That will take us to item five, which is Legistar 92373, approving the 2026 Neighborhood Grant Program recommendations, authorizing the execution of agreements required to administer the program, authorizing the finance director to execute grant agreements on behalf of the city, and authorizing the acceptance of any grant-funded improvements to be located on city-owned lands. On item five, President Vitover, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt item five. Alder Madison, you had questions?
Yeah, just two quick questions. So the first one is, I wanted to ask, what is the average, I don't know, for first-time applicants, are you seeing many first-time applicants applying for this program?
Looks like we have Linda Horvath here from planning.
Yes, thank you for that question. We generally see about two or three out of around 15 applicants on average that are new to the program.
And then
sometimes more, depends, but yeah.
And then on average, are you seeing, so it looks like, I don't know, the other 12 to whatever are folks who've applied previously?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and often that's the case, yep.
Gotcha. And then on average, are you seeing new folks get funded or selected for the program?
Yes, we, like, in fact, this year, we do have several that had never applied before, which are receiving funding.
Gotcha. Thank you. And then my last one, and I'm in a library and there's not like a meeting room, so my apologies for all the whispering, but they're playing like Minecraft nearby. So what is, I guess I'm interested in projects. So for example, my district, we had the Sandberg Neighborhood Pollinator Program. So I'm interested in like previous projects that have been funded, but that may need some upkeep. So on average, are folks applying for additional dollars along the way of over a couple of years to keep a project, I don't know, sustained? Mm-hmm.
So we don't have enough money really annually to do that. We do, if for example, a sign was hit by a car or something, we do reserve some maintenance money as we have this year. We have about $3,200. And in fact, if that money is approved tonight, we do have an applicant already wanting to apply for that money. Allied Neighborhood sign was damaged by a car or some other vehicle. And so they're looking to that maintenance fund to replace or fix the sign. And that's what that money is set aside for. But we always ask the applicant to incorporate some money in their budget for ongoing maintenance, just because our budget is not that large. And so we don't really have enough money to offer for that purpose.
Gotcha. And then my very last question, which I kind of think I know the answer to, but I'm curious, when folks are coming, you know, they're applying for the funding, they may come to you with additional questions. Are they finding additional dollars outside of the city that will help them maintain over time or at least get the project completed?
Yes, that's almost always the case. Okay. It's rare that they're able to fund their project entirely with the money that we provide through the grant program.
And then, oh my God, that was not the last one. After Alder Figueroa closed, I just wanted to hear any highlights that stuck out for you this year. So,
any highlights? Oh, that's a great question. I would say we have a couple. One that's kind of interesting, I guess it probably scored the highest, was festival management across several neighborhoods. We, you know, neighborhoods often struggle to organize and get festivals off the ground. So we had North Street Neighborhood applied for some funding to bring some neighborhoods together to talk about, you know, to hire a facilitator and talk about how best to manage, get festivals started and manage them over time. And so that, I think, is going to be helpful. And then we also had, it was Seeing is Believing in My Process, are doing some work in Meadowlands and Harmony apartment areas. Those areas don't have, you know, organized neighborhood groups. Yep. And so they're kind of trying to fill in that gap by providing some leadership building. And so those stood out as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa-Cole.
Thank you. Linda, what kind of outreach do you guys do to get more new people? I mean, I know my engagement with this has been pretty decent. People ask me, come up with an idea, and if it matches the program, I send them to you. But, and I'm very versed in this program because I have, you know, I think you do kind of encourage the elder participation to help with the, you know, to write a letter of recommendation or whatever. But what other outreach do you do to get more new people or to just educate people on the program and help them, you know, spark ideas on how to use these funds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've tried over recent years to do kind of multilingual engagement and outreach. So we're trying to, you know, we're translating all the materials into three different languages and we're pushing them out through social media. That's been kind of the more recent new way of trying to get people more aware of the program. Also provide multiple ways for people to apply. So we do offer the video option. So somebody can submit a video of what they want to do. And that, I guess, has only been taken up like once or twice so far, but since we've offered it. So those are some of the ways. We also over time have kind of done targeted outreach. If we see that a part of the city hasn't, you know, maybe applied in a long time or ever, we'll do some outreach, direct outreach, you know, call either neighborhood leaders or other leaders in the area to see if it's a program that they'd be interested in applying to and try try to provide that education. We'll also do workshops in different parts of the city too. We didn't do that this year, but we've done that in the past, go around to libraries around the city. So those are some of the ways I can think of offhand.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions on item five? If not, thank you, Linda. Item five has been moved and seconded. Alder Figueroa-Cole, discussion?
I just want to throw out there because this is kind of those unsung heroes that nobody talks about. But this program has such a little it's such a little tiny pot of money. But I have to say, with my limited experience working for the people that I have applied in my district, Linda has been an amazing champion. Like, she understands this program in and out. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to really recognize how engaged she gets with the people that apply, that even the people that don't get the money, they still come out on the other end, happy with the process, even though they don't get the funding because we don't have money for everybody. So I just want to give kudos to Linda for the work that she puts in here. And I know she'll say this is a teamwork, and I know it is, but she's kind of the face of this program, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alder.
Thank you.
All right, any further discussion on item five? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record unanimous vote in favor of item five, and we'll go on then to item nine, which is Legistar 92363, authorizing the city's execution of a purchase and sale agreement and lease between the City of Madison and the Salvation Army or their successors and assigns for the purchase of the property located at 3030 Darbo Drive in the City of Madison and lease back period subsequent to closing. On item nine, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to, a motion to re-refer to May 11th.
Motion to re-refer to May 11th.
Second.
Moved and seconded to re-refer. Questions for staff, Alder Figueroa-Cole.
So I guess if we're going to re-refer, do we discuss it then?
It is up to you. If you assume that the vote will be in favor of re-referral, we could defer any discussion until that time.
Can I ask, why are we asking to re-refer it?
You may.
Okay, well, let's start there. Why are
Director,
we referring this?
Director Wachter?
Salvation Army requested more time. Their approval process, like ours, is multi-steps, so they are going through their formal approval process, and they just needed a little more time.
Okay, so whenever it comes back, I really would like a presentation, like what are we talking about here, like, for this process, because I think this has already been on the news or something, and people is already making their own stories about what is happening. So I really want to understand myself so I can tackle any questions. So I can wait, but I just, when you come back, I really want some overview of this transaction. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions? If not, it's been moved and seconded to refer to the May 11th Finance Committee meeting. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of re-referral? Seeing no objection, the item is re-referred. And we will go on then to item 13. Item 13 is Legistar 92425, authorizing the city's execution of a purchase and sale agreement between the City of Madison and OM Land LLC or their successors and assigns for the purchase of the property located at 1010 North Street in the City of Madison, and authorizing the city's execution of an assignment and assumption agreement for an existing lease of the property by East Madison Little League Incorporated in District 12. We have, I believe, one registrant wishing to speak on this item. Daniela Rump from District 12, representing East Madison Little League. Daniela? Daniela, you look like you're unmuted on our end, but we can't hear you.
How about now?
Yes, that worked. Good job.
Thank you. I wanted just to be able to provide some background information about East Madison Little League and sort of be here for any questions that anybody might have in regards to what we do and what we offer. The league has been on the east side, I believe, since 1958. The park used to be located behind Oscar Mayer. And then in 1994, the East Madison League came to an agreement with Oscar Mayer to lease the land that we're currently on. The park was built by 1999 and opened about this time in 1999. And the funds for that park were raised entirely by East Madison Little League, which is a volunteer organization. All the improvements that are on the land have been made by the league, and we have been maintaining and operating the park fully on our own with registration fees and donations since that time. We were approached by the property owner, as you know, sort of gently asking us that maybe we could find a new place. And as everybody might be able to imagine, as a volunteer organization, that's really difficult to try to find a new place to go and then organize the construction and development of new land into a baseball field. The city purchasing the property has been sort of our like way to imagine our future, that we can stay on this side of town, be accessible to youth. I kind of did a little bit of put together some numbers in case there was some questions about, you know, what kind of demographic do we serve? So just based on registrations this year up to when I did these numbers a couple days ago, there's 272 youth that have signed up for baseball. 73% of those are white, but we do serve American Indian, Alaskan children with 1%, Latino, Hispanic at 8%, Black African American at 6%, other at 3%, and there's always the no answer. While we do have a significant number of families that report income over $150,000 a year at 26%, we do have other income levels, 20% between 100 and 150,000, 3% between 15 and 30,000, and then 7%, 30 to 50,000, and under 15,000, about 2%. And then there's also the 75 to 99 or 100,000. We offer free registrations to family that cannot afford the registration fee. We make it really low barrier for families. So if they are, if they qualify for free or reduced lunch, that usually is the only qualifier that we need to know. We rarely have to follow up with questions. Sometimes there's individual cases where, you know, something has happened that was unforeseeable, but we make that really low barrier. So we really don't want to, we really want kids to play baseball, and it's not just about the game. We have our regular rec league is very integrated, so anybody can play.
Daniela, you're at 3 minutes, if you could just wrap up.
Yep. So I just wanted to say that we're not just about kids playing baseball. We serve a very big community on the north and east side, and we want to continue to do that.
Thank you. Questions for our registrant? If not, thank you so much, Daniela, for being here. And President Vitiver, let's get a motion on item 13.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve item 13. Are there any questions for staff on item 13? Seeing none, is there any discussion on item 13? Seeing Alder Verveer.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I obviously support this wholeheartedly. I just wanted to make a point in case anyone's watching our meeting that emailed us a concern that there be a staff report before we vote, that indeed the Parks Division has drafted a very well done memo, which is available in Legistar. So I just wanted to make that public service announcement since we did receive a few emails, including from a former council colleague requesting that a staff report be drafted, and indeed it has been. So thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any further discussion on item 13? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 13. And we'll move on to item 14, which is Legistar 92353, amending the 2026 operating budget and setting the 2026 rates for the sewer utility, landfill, and stormwater utility. On item 14, President Vinnever, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve item 14. Alder Figueroa Cole, you have a question?
Again, just a quick overview of what the fees will be. I just don't want these to slide, you know. I learned my lesson. Let's just discuss it and put it out there on the universe. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Engineer Wolf is here.
Good afternoon again, everyone. So as the title suggests, this resolution is setting the rates for the sanitary sewer utility, the stormwater utility, and our landfill fee. I'll start with landfill. That's staying the same as it has for probably the last 4+ years. So no changes there. It's still 50 cents per month. And then for the sanitary sewer, we're looking at a proposed increase of about 2.7% for the average residential customer. That is in the total range of about a dollar and some change per month increase. The biggest reason for the sanitary sewer increase is related to Madison Metro Sewerage District treatment charges going up is the primary reason. And then for the stormwater utility, we are proposing a 2.3% increase, which is about an increase of 29 cents per month for the average residential customer.
And can you refresh our memory how our fees calculated? Can you just put whatever fee you want, or how can you explain that part?
Depending upon how detailed you want to get, Steve Dana Rivers is here, our financial manager too. But really, we kind of take our budgeted costs and our revenues and reserves, and we like to maintain a healthy reserve so that we get good bond rating, in particular for the sewer utility. And then that all gets packaged together and for what we estimate is needed for our revenues. And then we break that revenues up into, for like the sewer utility, we have industrial customers that have their strength of wastewater measured. We also have some restaurant class customers that have a little bit higher rate than the residential customers. We kind of distribute that in between everyone to kind of generate what our proposed rate increase is based on final numbers from last year, maintaining those reserves, and what we have for our proposed 2026 budgets.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions on this item? Seeing none, thank you, Jim. Item 14 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, item 14 has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 14, which brings us to the end of our agenda. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we stand adjourned. Have a good evening, everyone.